This series, thank you so much, and this is part two of a series about overcoming in this life. I know that we like to talk about heaven, and heaven's a great subject, but I want to tell you, we know we're going to be overcomers in heaven, but you know what? The Lord has provided on the cross for us to be overcomers in this life, and so there's a whole lot more for us to walk in than what we've been walking in, and so this is very, very important. Now, I'm going to just kick off on a couple things. For one thing, I'm going to share with you that Matthew 24:7, Jesus was talking about the last days, and I really believe we're in the last days. And he talked about rumors of wars. Boy, isn't that all over. But you know, in the next verse, and that was in verse 6, but in verse 7 he says, nations will come against nation. Now that's not just a rumor. And you know what? We're seeing that, aren't we? And so, you know what, there's all kind of signs that he listed about the last days. And in verse 7, he talks about pestilences. Now, thank God we just came through a pandemic. Isn't it great to be on this side of it? We just came through a pandemic. But when Jesus mentioned the pestilences, which works out to be pandemics, you know what? It's plural. And so if you think that the only thing that the enemy's got up his sleeve is one pandemic, I want to tell you, it'd be just like the enemy. Because you know what? The emphasis in Scripture is that in the last days, the enemy has recognition. Now, he don't know all things. He's not all-knowing. He's not always present. But you know what? He's got enough to understand that that his time is short. And the response of the enemy is fury. And so I want to tell you, don't be shocked about things becoming more intense in the last days. And so, yes, that can happen. Yes, that will happen. Yes, it is happening. And so it's important to have our eyes open about that. And so pestilences can be a plague, can be an epidemic, a pandemic. And it talks about nations coming against nations, earthquakes, come on. We've seen a lot of them. And but, you know, listen, the Lord has brought us through a pandemic. So it's important that whatever, the Lord says a number of things are going to come, but we're not responsible, and he's not responsible for sending those things, but we are responsible on how we respond. Because we don't have to be a victim in these things, okay? We can be a victor. And I just want to say to you that you'll never have victory with a victim mindset. And this is part of our message, something that's very, very important. But it boils down to this. You know, we've come from a pandemic into a recession. Now, you know, the Lord talks about famines too. Does that kind of sound like a famine? A recession is a type of famine. And there are famines happening around the world that are very obvious. And so, look, the same Lord that brought you through a pandemic can bring you through a famine. He's your provider, even during the middle of a recession. And so it boils down to this, saints. Are you going to believe the world's report on what's happening around the world? Or are you going to believe the Lord's report? It's important to give your allegiance and your mind to the Lord's report. What does the Word say? And so he paid the price for you not to be a victim, to be a victor. And so this is real and this is available for you. The Lord did not tease you about this. Okay? It's available for you. And so that's very, very important that you understand that grace has provided. When he died on the cross, he provided everything that we need in the next life and in this life. He's provided everything that we need. His provision's been made. That's what grace has provided. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But he's provided it. We get to receive it by faith. Faith is our bridge to receive the grace that the Lord's already provided. Faith is the bridge. And so we get to exercise faith on what the Word says grace has provided. And so it's very, very important that we appropriate the faith to receive the grace. We receive grace by faith. He's provided whatever you need, whatever you're facing. Now, I'm not one of those, and we don't emphasize that trials and sufferings are just for the wicked. No, trials and suffering comes on everybody. It don't matter how spiritual you are, Trials and sufferings are going to show up in your path, at your doorstep, somehow, some way. Why? Because we live in a fallen world. And you know what? There's an enemy, there's flesh, the world, that is absolutely against everything that you're for if you're lined up with Jesus. And it's like I shared with someone the other day, you know, you got to run face to face with the enemy or it might mean y'all going in the same direction. Come on now. And so there is resistance. We need to understand there's resistance. Don't get discouraged at resistance. The Bible has a way for us to respond, is to submit to God. Number one, big. Are you depending on God? Are you trusting in the Lord? Are you leaning on the Lord? And so we trust and depend on God. We submit to God, and we resist the enemy till he flees. And I say till he flees because he doesn't always leave at the first rebuke. But we continue to be steadfast in depending on the Lord, submitting to the Lord, and resisting the enemy till he leaves. And so trials and sufferings are opportunities. Because I want to tell you, when you received Christ, you became gold in the kingdom. And gold is not affected by fire. It just shines more brightly. And so the real gold comes out. The dross is driven away. And the real gold shines. And I want to tell you, trials and sufferings are opportunities for proving to you and to the world that your faith is true. It ends up being a mighty witness for the kingdom of God, to letting you and people you know and people you don't know understand that Jesus is really real. Causes people to want him. Our part is to show the world that God's real. We get to, as gold, reflect his glory. And trials and suffering will just cause you to shine more. Because the real you, the real Jesus in you, shines forth. Is that great news? And so I want to tell you, everything that you go through on this journey, the Lord will reward. Yes, we're talking about heaven. You'll be thankful in heaven for every single thing you ever did for Jesus. You'll be so thankful. There'll be a sweet reward in heaven. But also there's reward here. I want to tell you, he loves you so much. He's so involved. He's such a high priest that sympathizes with our weaknesses. He is so wanting to interact and be involved with us that everything that we go through on this journey, he'll reward you for here. Everything you fare well with will be rewarded here also, because he rewards you with himself. Is that great? And that can show up in a number of different ways. So we don't have to fear the future. I know the media always presents the worst case scenario. And please understand, I know that there's war going on in this world. And there's a tendency to park yourself in front of that information all day long or continue to study it. If you continue to study war, your heart's going to be in conflict. And so it's okay to understand. We need to know what's going on. We need to be able to pray strategically and specifically. That's okay. But I want to tell you, you can't fill your heart up with war. You can't fill your heart up with medical information. You can't fill your heart up with politics. Hey, you can't fill your heart up with pleasure. You can't fill your heart up with hobbies. And I'm just telling you, you can't do that, because whatever you fill your heart up with is what you worship. It's true. Jesus referred to it. That where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. Now, I hear people quote that wrong and say the opposite. But I want to tell you, Jesus said it this way on purpose, because whatever you treasure is where your heart's going. Whatever you treasure is where your heart's going to park. Whatever you treasure is the seed that's being sown in the soil of your heart, and that will reproduce a harvest. Hey, God designed your heart and your life to give harvest of the kingdom of God, 30, 60, 100-fold, the kingdom of God being manifested in your life. Does that sound like good news to you? Well, I want to tell you how your heart is. It's soil, and whatever you plant is what's going to grow. What kind of roots are there? I want to tell you, that's what's beautiful about the Lord, is that he's the Lord of recovery, he's the Lord of restoration, he's the Lord of deliverance. It's part of salvation for him to deliver you. And sometimes, because of our past or or whatever family situations that we've been through, we've got roots in our heart that are absolutely not healthy roots, and they don't produce healthy fruit. But I want to tell you what's great about the Lord. He's the one. It's not a counselor. It's not a program. I want to tell you it's the power of Jesus can set you free from roots in your heart that have established wrong fruit in your life over and season and season and season again. But I want to tell you, unless the roots get dealt with, it'll continue to produce fruit. They might be changed around a little bit. The names may be changed a little bit. But I want to tell you, Jesus will set you free from wrong roots. He's the only one that can. But I want to tell you, he wants to. We've got people in here that are absolute trophies of grace. Now, I'm going to share with you this. This is not in your notes, so you're going to have to write this one down. This one didn't show up till this morning, about 3:30 a.m. And it comes out like this. It's Isaiah 43. And verse 1 says, I have called you by name, you are mine. Now, that's a good thing. You need to know this. You may have gotten off track. You may be off in a rest area. You may be off in a party area. You may be off in a pit somewhere. You may be off the path. But I want to tell you something. If you've given your heart to Christ, his claim is on you. You belong to him. And I want to tell you, he says that he's called you by name, and he says, you are mine. Now, verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. I can't tell you a number of times a week that I hear from somebody somewhere that says, I feel like I'm drowning. I feel like I'm overwhelmed. I don't think I'm going to make it. And I shared this publicly back during the summer that most of the time when people contact me, they contact me because they're in trouble. They don't contact me to praise the Lord. Well, I had a pastor contact me this week and said, I listened to the message and I'm just calling you to tell you praise the Lord. And I said, well, that's great. That's great. Now, what do you need? He said, I just want to praise the Lord with you. I said, we got it. And we'll do that. But I'm telling you, this is how practical the Lord is. And he knows your situation like no one else knows it. And he knows how to reach down right where you are. And I want to tell you, he says that when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. He's never forsaken. He's never let you go. He's just waiting on you to recognize it. And through the rivers, they will not overwhelm you. I don't know what the name of your river is. But I want to tell you something. The Lord says, you're mine. I've called you by name. I will never leave you. And you know what? This river is not going to overwhelm you. This is not going to be the end of you. And I want to tell you what Jesus is saying to you this morning. What I've started in you, I'm going to finish. That's good news for somebody. You need to take a bite of that. Amen. Chew on it if you need to. And when you walk through the fire, I mean, how many times? I'm telling you, the fire can get hot. Am I right? And it can be like a refiner's fire. I want to tell you, God didn't send the fire, but I want to tell you, he can redeem any situation that the enemy throws at your life. He can redeem if you submit to him. And I want to tell you, the very fire that the enemy has sent to consume you, the Lord will take charge of. If you'll yield to him, he'll take charge of it, and not for you to be consumed, but for you to be refined. Whoa! Because he becomes the refiner. And he takes you and he works out to your good and to his glory what this fire is all about. Now be advised, and you've heard me say it, that sometimes a fire or a storm in your life will reveal the very lies that you've believed. But I want to tell you, remember, he's the restorer, he's the recoverer, he's the redeemer. And this is what he says in verse 1, I've redeemed you, don't fear, I've redeemed you, I've called you by name, and you are mine. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you, for I am the Lord your God. That's good. I want to tell you what the children, the Hebrew children would say, the three brothers. They would say, not only will the fire not burn you, you won't even smell like smoke when you come out. Oh, I love that, don't you? Well, I'm sharing with you that the Lord cares about you, and he's your overcoming. And the way to be an overcomer in this life is to keep your mind on him. Have a heavenly mindset for the nasty now and now, and watch the Lord be the overcomer in your life. That's the way the Lord likes to operate. Now, he cares about all of you. I know at one time in my life, I took my physical health pretty lightly. And I had an amazing doctor that walked with the Lord. And this doctor took the word of God out in my office and said, "Pastor, you got an amazing ministry." And this doctor said, "I listen to you. You got an amazing ministry." He said this, "But you won't have a ministry without your body." I said, "Thank you for being a truth teller." I didn't get mad at him. Hey, let me tell you something. I repented. I want to tell you, it's important. But see, God cares about your body too. That may not be the major. We're going to talk about the priorities here. But I want to tell you, you don't have a ministry without your body. All right? We know people, and I know of people, that are mightily gifted and mightily anointed, and you know what? They're stuck at their house, they're stuck in their bedroom, and they can't leave to go minister the gospel. Well, I want to tell you, they've limited the Lord. That's not God's will. Can you rule and reign and be sick? No, now if you're sick, we got compassion. Look, we consider it a season. Bible talks about it temporary. And you know what? He's an overcomer in this. We're going to talk about this. But, okay, let me get on something else because that didn't land very far. Can you rule and reign in this life and be poor? Hey, he says he wants us to rule and reign as kings in this life. Well, I want to tell you, he's also your provider. He's also your healer. Can you rule and reign as a king in this life? Because that's the Lord's heart for you. That's what Jesus paid for. If you're so full of fear and anxiety that you're like in a prison. Well, I want to tell you, hey, listen, there's hope. Man, I'm telling you, we got people here under every one of those categories that Jesus has set free. And I had one that I ministered to not too long ago and said, well, because this person is bound by, I'm just going to say it, sexual preference. And it's bound. And it's been a part of his life, his whole life, or since he was young. And there was great rejection from his dad that really implemented some of this. But I want to tell you something. When I shared with him that the Lord designed you to be free, he paid the price for your victory. And I told him, I said, we've walked other people through this journey that are free today. And he said, well, just what is freedom? I said, let me tell you something. Don't limit the Lord by your experience. Okay? When we look at the Word of God, and you look at your experience, and your experience don't line up with the Word of God, your experience is wrong and the Word of God's right. But I want to tell you, the Word of God can help you line up your life where your experience is right in the Word of God. You can line up your life with the Word of God and watch what God will do in your life. And so, yes, it has to do with your mind. A whole lot of it is, because the Bible says that's where strongholds are, in your mind. But I want to tell you, he can set you free. And not only does he care about, I mean, when you're saved, your spirit becomes complete. Your spirit is perfect in Jesus, and it's sealed by the Holy Spirit. Sin can't get in there. I'm telling you, you're sealed. You're secure in Jesus. When you accept Jesus, his spirit comes to be a part of your spirit. You have a brand new spirit. You're brand new. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus, in your spirit. And I want to tell you, he wants to redeem your soul. Your soul is being saved. That's a lifetime project. Your soul is being saved. And I want to tell you, you make progress in your soul being saved as you cooperate with the Lord. We're going to talk about that because he wants you to be free in your soul. That's where stuff gathers. This mind is where the new computer is reprogramming the old computer. It's a process. And it may be the hardest thing you ever do is to renew your mind. But you can't do anything more important after you've come to Christ than renew your mind. And so the Lord's concerned. He wants to help you with your soul. We're going to look at that. But he also wants to bless your body. And he's got plans for your body. He's going to redeem your body. You want to see that? Amen, because I want a new one. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:51, take notice. I tell you a mystery. Now, I want to tell you, if you listen to what I'm saying here, because I'm not going to preach on it, I'm just going to mention it. I've got something coming up next year on this that I think will really be an eye-opener. But I want to tell you something. This is a mystery. It's like a secret truth. It's a hidden purpose and counsel of God. And so if you don't completely understand this, don't let this be a stopping point. Let this be a believing point. Whoa, that's good, isn't it? I tell you, a mystery, a secret truth, an event decreed by the hidden purpose and counsel of God. In other words, this is God's plan. This is something God's going to do. We shall not all fall asleep in death. Now, I've met some people who believe that when they die, you just go to sleep. No, this was a reference. This is like what the Hebrews would reference death. They'd say sleep. And so I want to tell you, it doesn't mean that you're snoring after you die. You're snoring the whole time. No, it's not that. It's a reference of somebody dying. And so what are you saying here? We shall not all go asleep in death. We will not all die. In other words, he's saying there's a generation that will be alive when this happens. Now, we've talked about this being the last days, and I firmly believe we're part of the last days, and we're the last time, the last end generation. And I want to tell you, so we're living in very exciting times, and you're seeing it before your eyes. But we shall all be changed. We'll all be transformed. Those that have died and those that are still alive. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, it looks like that means an eighth of a second, about the best I could find. An eighth of a second, that's pretty quick. Okay. And so it's not something that you do, it's something that'll be done for you. You say, well, I don't understand. Well, it's because it's supernatural. You don't understand the supernatural. Okay, you know what you do? You receive it. And so I want to tell you, in the twinkling of an eye, at the sound of the last trumpet call, there'll be a last trumpet call. I understand that we got a trumpeter in the church. I hadn't heard a trumpet in a long time in church. I'm hoping to hear a trumpet in church. But I want to tell you, there'll be a trumpet call that'll go all the way around the world, for a trumpet will sound, and the dead in Christ will be raised imperishable, free, immune from decay, and we shall all be changed, transformed. For this perishable part of us must put on the imperishable nature. And this mortal part of us, this nature that is capable of dying, must put on immortality, freedom from death. And when this perishable puts on the imperishable, I'm going to be looking good like a Pastor Tim should. And this that was capable of dying puts on freedom from death. Then shall all be fulfilled in the scripture that says death is swallowed up in and unto victory. And so I will be, and you will be forever young. There ain't no old people in heaven. You see people that were old when they died, they're going to look young when you get there. Well, won't that be good? Hey, good news. You're going to look young too. And I want, because there's no age. Age is a symptom of sin, of death, of the world curse. That didn't happen until Adam happened. But I want to tell you something. Not only will there be life, you'll be full of life. You'll look young. You'll be forever young, forever healthy. Is that great news? No more sickness, no more decay, no more disease. I want to tell you that's good news. You say, well, I don't understand all this. I don't either. I don't understand. Let me just tell you again, I don't understand it all. But this is what the Bible says, and I'm excited about it. It's not our doing, it's His doing. And I want to tell you, you say, well, I just don't believe that. I don't believe it. You'll change your mind on the way up. Okay. Don't let it be a stumbling block. Don't let it be a test of fellowship. But I want to tell you something. This is good news. And this could happen anytime, any day. Okay? And I'm telling you, we're to encourage one another with this. Here we are on another time when the beautiful blonde's out of town. But she'll be arriving sometime. Somebody asked me today, when's she coming back? I said, sometime today or tonight. I expect her before daylight Monday morning. But I want to tell you, man, yesterday I didn't get to watch much college football. I was working on projects. Okay, while she's gone, I'm working on projects. And there's a tendency for me, when she gets back, to march her around and show her everything. Yeah. No. I ain't going to do that. I'm going to wait till she discovers them. But I don't know exactly when she's going to arrive. But I want to tell you, I've spent time preparing, and I'm anticipating her arrival. And this is birthday weekend, so I'm going to have a little surprise. I had surprises for her in San Antonio, Texas, that she didn't really know about. Okay? And so not only is that great, but I'm looking, You see, that's what we do when we're expecting and looking forward to his return. I want to tell you, it excites you to live for him. There's anticipation, there's encouragement, and there's excitement about it. But I want to tell you, he's taking care of your spirit when you receive Christ. Your soul is being saved right now. He's working on that. That's what we're working on now. But I'm just telling you ahead of time, he's got plans for your body. And I'm just going to be real clear. This body can't handle the glory of heaven. This body's temporary. I had to tell someone the other day that was kind of crying and moaning around about having to die one day. I said, look, this is a terminal experience. This life is for this body. But the real part of you will live forever if you know Christ. The real part of you won't taste death. And so when Jesus comes back, hey, he's going to take those that are alive and those that are already dead. Well, how do you explain that? I don't know, but even your dust belongs to him because he created you. And he's going to recover that dust and take the heavenly body you're coming back with right there. He's going to join it together for a newer upgrade model. Not only one that can handle the glory of heaven, but one that can also live on earth for 1,000 years as we rule and reign with Christ here. And so it's going to be an upgrade. Hey, I'm looking forward to upgrade. But he's got plans for you. Before that happens, before that great day happens, he still cares about your body here. And the Lord wants us to be strong and healthy here. Loud amen almost knocked me down. Thank y'all so much. Y'all let me preach now. Let me preach. Okay, Romans 8:11. And if the spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised up Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his spirit who dwells in you now. We know it's going to happen one day. But I want to tell you what he's available to do, what's possible for him to do because of the stripes of Jesus on the cross, because of the blood of Jesus that was shed. He's got victory for you now. And I want to tell you, like Paul said it, and when he was talking about the power of communion, about honoring the body of Jesus that was received stripes and suffering for your healing, the restoration for your soul and your body, and also that the blood of Jesus has paid the price for your victory, not only in heaven, but here on earth. He paid the price for your victory. And so Paul said it like this. Hey, some of you went to sleep early because you don't respect this. You're not approaching this in a worthy manner. Some of you are sick more often, and you die before you need to because you're not respecting the truth of the cross of Jesus Christ, the stripes of Jesus, and you're not applying it, you're not approaching it in a worthy manner. Now, I want to tell you something. Would you like to be sick less often? I'm not saying that you won't ever get sick. This is a fallen world. Okay? You're looking at a guy who don't walk. I do not walk in this perfectly. But I want to tell you something. I've seen so much of what the Lord's done. I'm addicted to Jesus. And I'm committed to his word no matter how I feel or what the world says. And so I want to tell you, I'm not saying that sickness is not real. I've never said that. I'm just saying there's a greater reality for us to believe for. And as a position, as a believer, our part is to believe. Believe for the more. Now, I want to tell you, I'm believing for provision. I'm believing for healing. I'm believing for restoration. I'm believing for renewal. I'm believing for restoration. Because you know what? That's who he is. Not because of what I am, because of who he is. But there's something dynamic, supernatural happens. When we believe and focus on him and we believe in who he is, we become what he is. Now, that's supernatural. Can you explain that? No, I can't. But I want to tell you, he loves to restore life to your mortal bodies by his spirit. He who dwells in you now can release resurrection life in you now. Grace has provided. Faith receives it. Now, the reason I'm preaching this is because you can't believe it unless you hear it. Faith cometh by hearing, 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 hearing. Faith cometh by hearing, not just hear it one time. It's hearing. But you know what? You got to hear it before this can be implanted in your heart and you can believe it. You got to believe it before you receive it. Do you understand that? But I want to tell you, there's more. How would you like to be sick less often? How would you like to live, and when you do get sick, recover faster? Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, the Lord's in on that. And that's His heart for you. And so He can restore to life our mortal bodies by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit in us can quicken our bodies and fill us with our Lord's resurrection life, His healing anointing, until the final salvation of our mortal bodies. I'm going to say this, but I've got something to say about it a little bit later that I think you'll remember. But life resists decay. Life resists decay. Life renounces decay. I think the greatest example is when Jesus healed the leper. And the leper told him, he said, if you will, he said, I will. I am willing. Well, we need to hear that. But this leper, I'm telling you, when you received leprosy, it was a death sentence. And you were to live whatever life was left in isolation and in pain and agony. But he told Jesus, if you will, he said, I'm willing. And then Jesus spoke to him and he said, go on, it is true to you as you've believed. Now I want to tell you, we can believe. And what we believe in and about Jesus, not about us, not about another human, what we believe about Jesus can be true in your life. Is that great? Amen. Well, life is greater than decay. Life is greater than decay. I've got people I meet with sometimes say, well, it's incurable. No, that's what man has said. Don't let man put that last word on you. Let Jesus have the last word. Dr. Jesus needs to have the first word and the last word. Come on. Okay, understand this. Our Heavenly Father is interested in your total well-being. We are a triune being, three-part. His will, His word, and His way is to save us, spirit, soul, and body. Our spirits are saved first, then when we receive Jesus. When we are born again, our spirit is, in according to the Bible, in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 4:24 says this, and put on that new nature. It's a new nature. It's a new spirit. Put it on. In other words, you give allegiance to it. You yield to it. Get allegiance to it. Just like the little granddaughters, they have a, you know, wardrobe change every few minutes. Well, put it on. Put on this wardrobe change. Okay, the robe of righteousness, the Jesus in you. Let that rule and reign in you. Not you first, Jesus first. He's created you in God's image. It's God-like in true righteousness and holiness on the inside of you in your spirit. That's true. The last to be saved is your mortal bodies, but right now is soul time. 3 John 1:2 says this, beloved, well-loved ones, I pray. Now see, this is, he's praying the will of God. And this prayer is the word of God. This is the way of the Lord. I pray that you may prosper in every way. Does that sound like victory to you? See, this is why we're talking about victory in the right and the nasty now and now. He's got more for us to walk in as a family, as a church, as an individual in our relationships and our finances and our careers, our bodies, our, you know. It's His desire, like a great father He is. He's a great, great father. It's His desire that you prosper in every way, that you have victory in every area. And that your body may keep well. I'm telling you, it's the Lord's desire, it's His heart desire for your body to be well. Man, we need to capture that. We need to put our name on that. We need to make that a part of our being. And then he says this, yes, the Lord wants you to prosper in every way, victory in every area. Yes, he wants your body to be in health. But the high priority, the numero uno is this, that even as I know the expectation, the priority is that your soul keeps well and prospers. And so I want to tell you, in the Hebrew way, it lists the first last. But the first is the most the most important thing is the last thing he mentioned right here. That's the way they think. That's the way they list things. We don't do it that way in Western culture, but they do. And I want to tell you, it comes out like this. The most important thing is that your soul is prospering. That your soul is full of peace. That your soul is full of his love. that your soul is receiving and expressing His joy, that your soul is prospering, that your soul is healthy. Wait, wait, wait. Is it well with your soul? Because as your soul goes, so goes your life. As your soul is, so is the rest of your life. Even your body is affected by your soul. Man, I'm going to share something with you next week. It's going to not sound like me because it's getting a little bit on the medical side. But I'm going to share with you next week about neopeptides. Anybody ever heard of those? Well, see, the naturalists have been talking about it for decades. The Bible's been talking about it forever. And medical science is just now recognizing it. But it's very, very exciting. But I'm telling you, the way you think up here affects your health. That's the bottom line to it. I'm going to share with you about that. I'm not ready yet. I've been studying, looking at it. I'll share with you a little bit next week. But I want to tell you, His will, His word, and His way is that we prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. So the number one thing, you cannot prosper in any other area if your soul is not prospering, because the Bible says, out of the overflow of your heart, out of your soul, comes the very issues of your life. Healthy soul, healthy life. Polluted soul, polluted life. Anybody catching that? I'm going to try to make it a little plainer. He desires us to prosper in our souls. That's priority, expectation of heaven. Heaven would say to you, numero uno, the number one thing is that your soul is prospering in me. Wow. No wonder Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. How do we keep our heart from being troubled? Or when it is troubled, how do we get it back to peace? He said, believe in God, you believe in me. It's by your believing that you receive. He desires us. The soul is your state of mind, your thoughts, your emotions. I got to share with someone just recently. Boy, I get to share this pretty often, so there's so many examples. So if you think I'm talking about you, I may be. If I shared this, I'm not naming names, but there's so many examples of this that I shared with them. You know, sad thoughts produce sad emotions. Sad emotions present sad attitudes. Sad attitudes present sad actions. But I want to tell you, we can put the brakes on all that because Jesus gave us a chooser. And we can choose Him. Will it happen automatically? Will it happen immediately? Will it happen before I leave? Maybe yes, maybe no. But I want to tell you something. This is worth pursuing because He paid the price for your peace. And having a mind that's got a fortress fortified by the peace of God is something that's God's will for you. It's something He paid for. It's something you need to live in. He didn't design you to live out of peace. To live out of peace is destructive. It's degrading. It will destroy you. Glad thoughts in the Lord. Glad thoughts, heavenly thoughts, produce healthy, godly emotions. Godly emotions present and present godly attitudes. Godly attitudes present godly actions. Is there anything uncomplicated about that? The state of your soul is so important because out of it flows the issues of life. Somebody say amen. That's what Proverbs 4:23 talks about. Now, when I talk about Zoe life, I mentioned Zoe life to a group of Christians the other day, and they said, we don't know what that is. It means the God kind of life. It's the Jesus kind of life. Zoe life channel is where you need to keep your channel on. In your soul, whatever the channel is in your soul is what's going to come out of your soul. You've heard me say it like this. Your life is going in the direction of your dominant thought. And so that's why it's so important to fill your mind with the Word of God about Jesus, the goodness of God. And that's what we call hope. You'll be full of hope if you do that. And hope is the expectation, the positive expectation of God's goodness in your future. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance. This is a priority. This has got to be something that's very important to you, something you got to do day in and out and even at nighttime. Above all, that you guard it. Guard it, guard it, guard it. Because out of it flows the springs of life. This is victory help for your relationships. You know, somebody tells me, well, you don't understand. I got a problem with my mate. Well, number one, you need to be in Proverbs. But I want to tell you, you need to be receiving Zoe life. Because Zoe life produces Christ kind of life in your relationship. First of all, it does that in you. But the life in you has a way of overflowing onto others. Hey, Zoe life is good news for your health. It's good news for your finances, your career. Father doesn't want us to be bound up by worries, fears, anxious thoughts, hopelessness. Man, I'm kind of stressing that because our generation is full of it. The word is clear that on this earth we have opportunity to face grieving. You will face grieving by various trials. You may be distressed by trials and you may suffer temptations, but it's His will, His word, and His way for your heart to not be crushed and defeated by Him. Man, I hope you got that. Somebody need to write that down again and put their little stick figure themselves on that. It's through Jesus that we are kept in perfect peace. It's through Jesus that we still have exceeding gladness. The Bible calls it joy inexpressible. You know joy inexpressible? How long has it been since your soul was so full of joy that you didn't know how to express it? That's Jesus' joy. That's what we're talking about. You said that's you're talking about an emotion? No, it's deeper than an emotion. This is your birthright. This is what Jesus has for His believer. It's victory joy. If it's triumphant, it's victory. We're talking about victory joy. Our souls, our mind, thoughts, and emotions are being saved, and we can live in the Lord's perfect peace and His joy in us when we keep believing in Him. All right, 1 Peter 5:8. Let's get back to some word here. Without having seen Him, you love Him. You see, this has been provided by grace. You receive it by faith. Because you can't see Him. But I want to tell you, what you can't see is a greater reality than what you can see. And the greater reality is the love of Jesus to you. You say, Pastor, you kind of hit on that a lot. Well, I want to tell you why. Because the love of Jesus is first base. If you don't first touch first base, if you don't stand on first base, if you don't touch first base, whatever else you do, it's not going to matter. Let me say it real clear. It's not going to count. But if you touch first base, if you stand on first base knowing the love of Jesus, everything else you do is going to have His touch on it. Everything else is accessible to you when you're convinced that He loves you. Without having seen Him, you love Him. Though you do not even now see Him, see, it's in the invisible. That's why we need faith. It's been provided up here in the invisible. By faith, we receive it. You believe in Him. Somebody say receive. That's how we receive, is by believing in Him. It's not by our doing. It's not by our deeds. It's not being your goody-goody two-shoes by being better than somebody else. Well, we have a tendency to compare that. Paul said that's foolish. It's not by our comparison. God's not grading on a curve here. It's not that. It's by receiving. By receiving. He designed all of us to be a receiver. We can't all achieve. It's not in achieving. But we can't all be receivers. Listen, and here comes. This is the birthright. The thrill with inexpressible and glorious triumphant. Somebody say victory. Somebody say heavenly. I want to tell you, heavenly? Yeah. It's His will that the joy in heaven will be your joy while you're here in the nasty now and now on earth. Wow. Jesus' joy. Now, I've got to where I'm having trouble even saying, this is birthday month for my beautiful blonde. I've had trouble even saying happy birthday. I've been saying real joy, Jesus, to you on your birthday. Because that's greater than a happy birthday. It's invisible, but real love life with Him. Real joy. You can't see it. It's deeper than emotion, but it's real. And He wants it to be real to you. Is that good news? Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, you will guard him. See, this is what Jesus does. It's talking about the Lord will guard you and keep you in perfect and constant peace. This is an automatic byproduct. This is peace and joy and love. Constant peace, whose mind? See, here's our part. Jesus does that. He guards you and He keeps you in perfect and constant peace. Our part is to put our mind on Him. Both its inclination and its character is stayed on you. That's our part. Because He commits Himself to you, that's our part. See, we commit ourselves to Him. And so this is not done as just an exercise without the Lord. Anything that's done spiritually is done involved with interaction with the Lord. And so this is not something you do as a 1 + 1 = 2 and I'm going to experience the benefits. No, it's connecting with Him. See, that's the whole thing. It's involved, it's interacting, it's connecting with Him. But I want to tell you, when you put your mind on the Lord and you're loving on Him with your mind, see, that's what that is. You're meditating on Him with your mind. You put your mind on Him. Then I want to tell you, He does the rest. He will guard you. He will protect you. You commit yourself to Him. See, it's more than just an exercise to get something. It's a commitment. But when you commit yourself to Him, then you lean on, when you lean on Him, you put your confidence in Him, then I want to tell you, the Lord does it. I'm going to give you a little example here. You know about David killing Goliath. Now, see, I love that. I still get things out of that. Preached on it a lot of times. I still get new stuff out of it. But I want to tell you, here's the deal. David showed up to a sword fight with a rock. But I want to tell you, his victory was not because of the rocks in his little bag. His victory was because he was standing on the rock. His confidence was in the rock, Jesus. And I want to tell you, that's why he was bold. He had holy boldness. Not because of the rocks in his satchel, but because he was standing on the rock, Jesus Christ. And he had holy boldness. Do you wonder why there's a lack of holy boldness? I want to tell you, it goes back to having confidence in the Lord. He had confidence in the Lord before he arrived. He didn't arrive and say, oh, I need a quiet time. No, he was already there. Okay? So trust in the Lord. Commit yourself to Him. Lean on Him. Hope confidently in Him. That is depending on God. Are you depending on God? You see, I know we can look spiritual. I know we got Christianese down. I mean, we can talk the language. Sometimes I meet with people, and man, they got all the right answers, but I want to tell you, it's just empty on the inside. As a matter of fact, the worst thing to ever deal with is deception. Because deception means this. Deceived people don't know they're deceived. They actually at the point where they believe their own lies. Now that's sad. Okay, what do you do with that? We have to wait till the Lord shake them and wake them out of that sleeping pill that the enemy's given them of deception. But we're to trust in the Lord. See, this is more than just saying a prayer every day or reading a verse. Trusting in the Lord, it's talking about relationship. This is relationship. How are you in your relationship with the Lord? Commit yourself to Him, lean on Him, hope confidently in Him forever. For the Lord God is an everlasting rock. You see, that's what David was standing on. He was standing on the rock of all ages. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story right quick, and yes, I got time. I believe I do. One of my buddies that I love so much, he's big brother, like a dad to me, big brother. His wife, lifetime wife, died over a year ago, a little over a year ago. And so I made it to his state, to his city, just to fellowship with him, love on him, be an encouragement to him. And when I met with him, I didn't know exactly where he was with his heart. Because I want to tell you, grieving can take an effect. And even though it's definitely okay to grieve, it's wrong to stay there. And so one of the hardest things that we deal with is people that park at grieving. And so when I arrived there, I was prepared for whatever. Just, Lord, just help me to be a help. Give me wisdom. But as I'm visiting with him, man, you know what I'm sensing is peace. Now, I know people can talk Christianese, but this guy had a real deal, man. I mean, there was peace in his home. He was ministering peace. He was sharing peace. He was talking about hope. He was talking about what Jesus is doing in his life anew. Boy, that's a good sign. What is Jesus doing now? And so he brought it up. I didn't even ask. He brought it up. He said, I got to confess something to you that I don't tell other people. And I said, lay it on me. Man, I'm prepared. Okay, whatever. I'm ready. He said, you know, it's been over a year since my wife died. I said, yeah, I know. That's part of why I'm here. He said, well, I got to tell you something. He said, I don't really understand it. He said, but I haven't grieved yet. I said, man, that's amazing. I said, I want to tell you something. I know enough about you to know that you were like a portrayer of peace in the years we ministered together. You were a portrayer of peace, man. You walked in such peace. You ministered such peace. When you stood up in front of a room, peace would settle in a room. You understand that's Jesus, don't you? And I said, so I'm not completely shocked. He said, well, I can't explain it, and people keep asking me, when am I going to grieve? I said, look, man, you were already in a deep sea of peace before she went to heaven. And so you didn't have to be rescued by peace. You were already walking in peace. And so you were, your mind had such a garrison of peace about it that even when death came, you were standing on the rock. You were already there by the waters, the pool, the waters of peaceful waters. You were already drinking that in, and that's what's continuing to come out. I did say this. I said, it doesn't mean that you can forever be there, because if you choose to walk out of it, you can. Right? But I want to tell you, you keep your mind on the peace of the Lord, on the goodness of God, the hope of the Lord. And you just trust the Lord for the future, because he's got your future in his keeping. Is that good news? Well, I want to tell you, it's an amazing testimony. If you don't understand that, that's okay. Our part is to keep our minds on him and have our minds renewed each day. Now, this is the thing that I was wanting to get to you with. And so give me a couple minutes here. He's an unlimited supply. Jesus is your unlimited supply. You say, well, we're going through a recession. Jesus is your unlimited supply. The same Jesus that supplied for you last year, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, is the same Jesus that protected you from COVID, is the same Jesus that will provide for you. You know what we're talking about? He's our provision. And so the same way we put our trust, we lean and have our confidence in him. He's our yes for our future. He's our win in the future. It's positive when your mind's on Christ. That's a good news. If your attitude or your mindset or your words are negative, it means you're on the world channel and not on the Jesus channel. I want to tell you something about my dear old dad, about Paps. Mammy left Earth about nearly 2 years ago. It'll be Thanksgiving to be 2 years. And every time I arrive, he shares with me how many months and how many days she's been gone. And you know what? I know how to listen. Part of being a good counselor is listening, right? I know how to listen. But I lovingly and gently turn his direction heavenly. Hey, in the promises. And that where she is now and where he can be now, in Jesus with peace and love and joy, being his birthright. But I want to tell you, see, and this is the deal. I'm going to tell you, if he was already there like this other brother is, and I want to tell you, we each have different strengths and weaknesses, right? And we're to cover one another, be patient with one another. Somebody else next to you may have a different weakness than you. And we're to have hope and love and to deal with each other as gently as we can, hard as we have to be a help to each other. But I want to tell you something. If he was already in peace, then he would be saying to me, not how many days she's been gone, he'd be saying something like this: I'm one day closer to seeing Jesus and hugging Mammy again. I'm one day closer. Do you see a little difference there? Hey, I'm talking to you about what's real. I'm talking to you about hope. Let me cover. I got two verses. I'm just going to run through them. Do not be conformed to this world. If you operate and respond the same world, the same way the world responds to COVID, if you operated and responded the same way the world does, then I want to tell you, you limited God. You put God in a box. You put yourself in chains. There was a compromise. There was no Zoe life flowing through you like there could have been. I'm just saying to you, we can't be conformed. We can't respond the way the world does. The Lord has a better way for us. We're to be transformed by the entire renewal of our mind from the world's way to God's way, so that you may prove that you'll be living proof of what's good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in the sight for you. I want to tell you, you're to be a living billboard that what God says is true, that what God's way is the best way. Not only will you prove it to yourself, you'll prove it to everybody else. You're to be a living billboard. Don't react. Don't respond the way the world does. Now, if you have, repent. Let's get back in line. Let's seek the Lord. Let's renew our mind. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Therefore, we do not become discouraged. We don't have to be discouraged. You can't keep your heart and mind on Jesus and be discouraged at the same time. Okay? Look at the way the Amplified describes discouraged. Utterly spiritless. Man, we know people like that. Exhausted. True. Wearied out of fear. I'm telling you, fear will drain the life out of you. Okay? That's the wrong channel. How long has it been since you've been immersed in His love and His peace and His joy? If you can't think, it's been too long, because this is supposed to be a daily thing. Not a Sunday thing, a daily thing. Though our outer man is progressively decaying and wasting away. Now, wait a minute. Don't stop yet. It ain't over. Yet our inner self is being progressively renewed day after day. Now, which part are you going to focus on? Which part are you going to park at? I have people tell me all the time, well, Brother Tim, these old bodies, they just wear out. These bodies, they just fall apart. Okay. You know, I know that there is a natural curse on this world. But I will tell you something. Jesus came and got on the cross to take away our curses. And I want to tell you something greater than a curse, it's blessing. I want to tell you something greater than decay, it's life. And so I want to tell you the best reaction we have is to receive and respond with life. Zoe life stays away decay. I'm going to say it to you like this. The best way to stay the decay is being renewed day by day. Oh, come on, I like that. I got to say it again because I got this big star by it. The best way to stay the decay is being renewed day by day. Okay? Resurrection life renews. Resurrection life restores. Resurrection life enriches. His life is greater than death. Do we believe it? Do we receive it? It's in you. Put it on. Believe it and receive it. And I got another one that's come to my mind. I'm going to have to. Yeah, this is not in your notes either. You're going to have to write this one down. See, this is what happens when the beautiful blonde's out of town here, and I didn't get it to Lily soon enough. Would you listen to this? Thanks be to God who gives us the victory as conquerors through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that Bible? Does that sound like Jesus? Well, because that's true. Is that true? Because that's true, listen to verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers at Freedom Life Fellowship and my beloved sisters at Freedom Life Fellowship, be steadfast. Stand on the rock. Immovable, no matter what the winds of the world say. Always excelling in the work of the Lord. Always doing your best and doing more than is needed. Being continually aware that your labor, even to the point of exhaustion in the Lord, is not futile nor wasted. It is never without purpose. He redeems it. He restores it. He keeps it. He multiplies it. Because that's Him. That's your life. And so, grab your life that He paid for. And you know what? Let's enjoy living the Zoe life. I want to tell you, the best way to stay the decay of this present world is to have your mind being renewed day by day. When you're focused on life, you receive life. When you're focused on death, you receive death. Which one you want? Let's turn our heart to the Lord right now. Let's seek the Lord. Would you ask the Spirit of the Lord to speak to you about your life right now? What is He saying to you right now? What does He want for you right now? If you find yourself more aware of exhaustion, weariness, discouragement, I want to tell you, you have a great high priest. Not only do we have compassion for you because we've been there, we get there, but I'm telling you, the high priest himself, Jesus, sympathizes with your weaknesses. But I want to tell you, let hope come. Let Him comfort your soul, because only He can. If you're waiting on somebody else to do something to comfort your soul, you're looking the wrong direction. If you're looking for the government or medical cure to comfort your soul, you're looking the wrong direction. If you're looking at people, you're looking the wrong direction. You need to look at Jesus. Jesus will heal your soul. Jesus will set your soul free. Jesus wants to come and minister the deliverance of the root that's been buried inside you that keeps getting you off track. He will set you free. Let's seek Him. You know, He won't do it without your cooperation. Let's seek Him. Let's submit to Him. Let's surrender to Him. And let Jesus be Lord. Man, that's an important word. Be Lord of where you are and where you're not. Just surrender. And let's begin the Zoe life journey of believing right and receiving His rightness. Because His rightness will set your life free. Let's believe and let's receive what He's already paid for. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray right now for the ministry of Your Holy Spirit to come and minister hope, to minister relief, to minister restoration. Lord Jesus, thank You for the power of Your blood that's never lost power, that is so powerful to set us free from the miseries of death to the enjoyment of Zoe life. Thank You, Lord, that Your death is our victory right here on earth. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that by Your stripes that we're healed, body and soul. Your heart is to heal us. It's Your desire that our soul be made whole. And we just surrender to You. Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, come, make this very personal. Make this fresh to each one of us right now where we are. And we just give You praise in Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen and amen.